There is no small touch of irony in the fact that as Detroit is in the midst of its bankruptcy court and all its money woes, U.S. automakers are enjoying boom times. U.S. car sales for August came out today. General Motors sales were up almost 15%. It's the company's best month since September of 2008. Chrysler and Ford, they each reported 12% gains. Sounds like good times, but not for the city that gave birth to what we now know as the U.S. auto industry. Let's talk about this as we welcome from the Detroit Free Press business columnist Tom Walsh and from NPR Sonari Glinton, national desk reporter. He's covered transportation and the auto industry. Tom, you posed a very central question in your recent piece in the Free Press. How can Detroit go bust when the U.S. auto industry is booming?
Well, I think there are a couple of answers to that question. One is just a time lag factor. When an industry collapses and you've got a lot of dependence on that industry, people move out, people leave town, housing values crash, and the revenue, the tax revenue that comes from things like property taxes and income taxes of workers that are no longer working, there's a lag time between when the crash hits and the revenues decline for the public sector. So we've seen a lot of that all across the country from the recession. You saw public employment keep going down long after private sector employment had started to tick back up. So there's part of it's a lag effect. The city's going through some of the same pains that the industry went through 5 or 6 years ago. But also, even long before that, Detroit was no longer the factory town that we associated with tens of thousands of assembly workers at, you know, when Henry Ford offered them $5 a day.
Sure.
Way back when. It's a much more automated, high-tech industry that employs many fewer hourly workers than it did 30 or 40 years ago.
Sonari Glinton, there seems to be a real common impression, especially among members of the national media, that automakers in the city of Detroit are closely connected. I actually heard one pundit on one cable news talk thing asked why the city of Detroit couldn't get some of that GM bailout money. How have you seen this misconception affecting the national conversation about Detroit's troubles?
Well, you know, it's interesting because there's only 2.5 plants that would count as being in Detroit. So there's the two that are on Jefferson Avenue, and then there's Hamtramck, which is the half. So there's not a lot of actual cars being made inside the city of Detroit. And so those workers aren't working there. And often those people are taking those jobs and moving to the suburbs because we know that people in Detroit, once they, you know, there's a threshold that, you know, a lot of middle class people are moving out of the city. So, you know, nationally, people go Detroit and they think that, oh, the automakers are headquartered there, even though we know that only GM is headquartered inside the city.
Right.
And all of this money that you would get from property tax dollars from commercial development isn't happening inside the city of Detroit. It's happening outside. You know, the city of Chicago probably gets more money from the auto industry because it has a gigantic Ford plant in it, you know, that produces far more than the 2.5 plants that are inside the city of Detroit.
And Tom, as a business writer for the Detroit Free Press, do you get that misconception as you interact with journalists and policymakers and economic leaders outside of Michigan?
Oh, absolutely. And a lot of it has to do with the municipal boundary question. Sonari referred to it in terms of, you know, neither Ford nor Chrysler is located, headquarters are not in the city limits. And in Ford's case, you know, most of their plants and engineering and all of that kind of stuff is over in Dearborn as well,
mm-hmm.
just a few miles away. So the actual impact on city revenues is different. And Detroit occupies kind of a unique place in the national conversation because when people say, well, Detroit is hurting, they kind of mean the auto industry is hurting sometimes. And, you know, Detroit is the Motor City. Detroit is Motown. You know, the whole connection with automobiles is so ingrained in the national psyche, national consciousness, that it is hard to separate the two.
There are definitely effects that the auto industry has on the greater Detroit area with its millions and millions of people. And
Absolutely.
We're seeing that start to happen, especially right now.
Just not within that Detroit city boundary. Was there any reason to expect some help from, let's say, General Motors with, you know, the headquarters right there on the river in the Renaissance Center?
some people think, well, you know, the General Motors got tax breaks to be headquartered there. It also got a government bailout. So there you can understand why some people might think, hey, you know, the city of Detroit has done something for you. The federal government has done something to you. Now that you're seeing a profit, why don't you do something for, you know, those two? You can understand why that, you know, that happens. But there is not a single company that has moved its headquarters or built a new headquarters that I can think of that didn't get some kind of tax break, whether it's in Chicago or New York or San Francisco even. You know, that is a part of the way we do business now. And it may not always be good for the municipalities.
And General Motors, you know, just to be clear, is paying plenty of taxes in the city of Detroit. I mean, it's not tax-free. There was a time period, you may recall, when GM was still in bankruptcy, I think, or just about to exit, when they talked about moving the headquarters out to the suburbs to Warren, where the giant tech center and all the engineers are, and there's many more GM employees out in Warren than there are in downtown Detroit. But Mayor Bing, in talking with President Obama and many others, sort of convinced GM, boy, oh boy, this would really, really hurt the city symbolically as well as financially. So they did keep the headquarters in. They've actually moved more people in, some IT roles and some others into the city. So they're all paying City of Detroit income tax and contributing somewhat. And GM is back involved in the city philanthropically again. It really pretty much had to exit almost all of its philanthropy during the bankruptcy period. And Chrysler's actually even put an office in the city for the first time in many decades. So the companies are engaged more, but, you know, when you see them making $1 billion or $2 billion a quarter in profit and the city's sort of dying in a fiscal way, you know, you understand why the question gets asked.
It's interesting when we think about these companies that we do have to remind ourselves that these are global companies that have, you know, that spans across the world. And when we talk about the U.S. auto industry, to be fair, when I drive around the Midwest or the South, you know, the center of the automotive industry have just sort of seems to have moved. If you don't even count Mexico, because if you count Mexico, then it goes
way south.
But if you don't, yeah, it goes way south. But the center of the North, if you were the center of the U.S. auto industry, you know, there are lots and lots of plants that are clustered in Ohio, Indiana, Kentucky, Mississippi. Mm-hmm. The U.S. auto industry has moved southward away from Detroit at the same time that the U.S. based automotive industry accounts for less of the GDP than it would have when Detroit was at its height. So there is not only is the U.S. industry shrinking, but its participation in our overall economy has shrunk too. And so that's some of what you can see economically across Detroit.
Is it time? I'm interested in the thoughts of both of you. Is it time to step away from the Motor City stuff and the city that put the world on wheels? Does all of that keep Detroit too rooted in the past?
I think to some degree, yes. And people had actually espoused this, oh, we have to diversify our economy and become mm-hmm. more than automobiles. This was, you know, a big sort of cry 20 years ago, 30 years ago. The recession of the 1980s was pretty brutal in Detroit and Metro Detroit and in Michigan. But actually, of late, there's been more rallying around the industry, because one of the odd things that did happen when GM and Chrysler and Ford also all got a lot smaller and leaner during the retrenchment period of 2008-09, among all the plant closings, actually the ones outside of Detroit got hit harder. There was a little bit of a retreat to the core, not in the city itself, but in the region. In Michigan, GM has very modern plants up in Lansing, 90 miles away from Detroit.
Sure.
They all have big suburban operations. In Southeast Michigan, they actually kept a higher percentage of certainly their engineering work and many of their parts plants and things in the region. So there's quite an effort right now to say, hey, listen, this is not old Rust Belt stuff. This is high-tech manufacturing. Cars are very sophisticated, advanced manufacturing kinds of things, and we don't want to lose our reputation as an engineering center, an innovation center, and autos is a big part of that.
And mobility is such a part of what's going on in the future of our economy. I mean, it's not looking backwards to think about how are people going to be moving from one place to another. No matter what happens, we still need to transport ourselves. And I think that there's a lot of great thinking. There's a lot of innovative thinking that's happening at the U.S. auto companies. And there's a lot of that that's happening around Detroit. But also what I find interesting about Detroit, the city itself, is how much people are thinking about urban life in Detroit and how much reimagining the urban landscape that's trying to be had there in a way that's not happening in other cities that are doing much better. In Detroit, people are thinking about how are we going to make this work? And I think in a way that helps the rest of the country think about how it's going to make urban life work as more and more people move into cities again.
Yeah, that's a really intriguing challenge. And you're right. I think people are talking and thinking about that in Detroit because you've got a couple of things going on. While in the region generally, you have a lot of investment continuing to go on by foreign companies. I wrote a column recently that the head of Toyota manufacturing in this country, the person in that job had always been based down in Kentucky near Toyota's largest assembly operation, but he decided he's going to live in suburban Detroit and work out of an office near Ann Arbor, because that's where the EPA does its emissions testing stuff and where Toyota has a technology center. So we want that kind of investment in the high-tech engineering stuff, but that's really not going to come into the city center. A whole different kind of thinking around urban areas, and Detroit is sort of this one large one that doesn't have historically the vibrant downtown, the mix of things, and they've tried to kind of build an entertainment district with the stadiums, and
Fox
thank
Town.
God the Tigers are playing well and drawing 40,000 a night. But they need more. And is it farming? Is it other things in the city? It's a very interesting conversation.
It is. Great conversation with both of you, and I hope we can do this again. That was Detroit Free Press business columnist Tom Walsh, and he was joined by NPR business reporter Sonari Glinton. Good to have you both on Stateside. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Cynthia.
It's good to be here.